Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is just an obsessive goal scorer.
They have to understand I chose to stay in my country because I'm French.
I haven't got a problem with soccer, to be fair.
Football.
Look at the area to Mbappe! Oh, what a start!
What I can guarantee to you is that they want to keep everything secret.
Welcome, everybody. Great show on tap for you today. I've got James Binge, Michael Hood, and Nigel Real Coco with us. Hi, guys. Golf clap for all of you for joining us in House of Champions Power Rankings today. Thank you very much. Yeah, buddy. We're looking forward to the World Cup. It's right there. I mean, it's almost in touching distance. Some of the stories coming out of Qatar, by the way, James Binge, have been unbelievable. The Fire Festival hotel accommodation. Talk to me, James Binge. Talk to me before we get to the Power Rankings.
That is £180 of... Or I don't know how many dollars it is. I don't know, probably 180.
It's
now.
The same. It's the same.
Yeah, exactly. That's all wonderful. For $180, you can sleep in what is somewhere between one of those tents you might all remember from Fire Festival, which are the sort you get kind of if you're evacuated from a civil war. Somewhere between that and a shipping container. I mean, people questioned whether Qatar would be able to host a World Cup, but between this and it being impossible to record on the streets without some busybody stealing your camera, it seems like it's been a really glowing success for our hosts. So congratulations. And anything that can make this worse is if they lose every group game, which they're probably going to do.
Michael, I've just got to get into it. You know, the Danish TV reporter right there, flashing the camera, getting up to it. What was your thoughts when you saw the golf cart coming around with the aggressive, put the camera down?
I was laughing hysterically because if you slow the camera down, if you slow the footage down, you can see one of the security guards giving a little wave as if he was saying, hi, mom, hi, dad, before he goes in to smash the camera. This is just the cartoonish display that this World Cup has already begun to be. And I think the football will take care of itself, but this is just a calamity to begin with.
Nigel, how are you doing, buddy? This seems to be a bit of a mess before you even kick the ball, mate.
That's what I was about to say, mate. This World Cup's going to a great start before we even started the tournament itself. So long may the decision makers at FIFA live, because this has just been an absolute embarrassment so far.
Well, we haven't kicked the ball yet, but let's get into it. There's the England fans.
Let's not do this. I want to know what James thinks, because for me, I said it, how much were these guys paid? Because they didn't even sing the song correctly. They didn't even know the words, just coming home. It just seems so manipulated and so fake. And it's just not authentic.
They meant Qatar, though. They meant it's coming home to Qatar.
I read somewhere, I think it was Sam Wallace in The Telegraph, did speak to some of these people. And they were, they would anyway sort of say, look, well, no, we're not fake fans. We're real fans. And obviously, you know, a lot of these come from places like Sri Lanka, like India, where their teams aren't at the World Cup. So you may as well pick someone to support. But yeah, I think the strange thing, and you see this in like the adverts as well around the Qatar World Cup, it all feels such a contrived attempt at authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, like I think to an extent, maybe the way that Qatar should have done this World Cup is to acknowledge the inauthenticity, the bizarreness of it, to heighten the luxury, to turn it into a, you know, the Dubai of World Cups, a bit of a billionaire's playground. But it hasn't. It's tried to kind of pretend that there's this strange world where, you know, all these indentured workers have suddenly caught World Cup fever. The best thing they might have caught over the last 12 years. But they're all carried away on this tidal wave of emotion and want to be, I don't know, I would imagine if I'd been involved in the building of this tournament, I'd be quite desperate to be as far away from it as possible.
Well, listen, it hasn't got underway yet. The tournament hasn't kicked a ball just yet. So we can't necessarily put our heads down on the World Cup yet, even though Nigel probably is quite frustrated with those English fans
singing. Listen, Ian, you know me. I'm a big fan of authenticity and just being genuine.
Yeah, let the
being game real. Grow as how we've all watched football. Football wasn't as popular as it's really become nowadays from when we started watching. There was a lot that had to change. We talk about the hooligan days and it still goes on, but it's changed and developed. Like, just let it be authentic, but it just looks so inauthentic and just fake. And it's just annoying.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it improves. Shout out to Ivan, who's already in the chat right now. Oh my God, three more days. You're absolutely pumped. So are we for the first kick. Let's turn it into a positive right now, because there is a competition of soccer ball taking place. Yes, that is right. The World Cup is about to begin. World Cup Qatar 2022. We're going to go through our power rankings. Feel free to jump in the conversation with us as we go through our power rankings. Now, obviously, and James, I'm sure you will disagree with me, but the favorites at the bookies right now is Brazil. So let's get deep into Brazil. They're in Group G. Opponents are Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon. As you can see, the odds plus 400. I think they're dropping closer to plus 350 now, which means a lot of money's going on Brazil to be the favorite in the competition. Let's begin with them, James, because I know you don't have Brazil to win the competition.
But I do. Far.
You do have Brazil?
I do have them to win the competition.
Okay, I thought you had Argentina. Apologies.
I've had to do this thing like three or four separate times because our editors love it. It gets lots of readership. It's a lot of fun. It takes me ages, which means I don't disturb them about anything else. But I think on my last draft, I did have Brazil to win the World Cup because obviously, like, as you know, as we can all lay out, they've got all the good players. I mean, there is that one, or the two weak spots are at fullback. And that is a, you know, it's a real weak spot. And I think we're going to probably spend a lot of time talking about Brazil and Argentina, Brazil and Argentina. Like, Argentina, I don't think have a glaring weakness like Brazil do at fullback. But Brazil, everywhere else across the pitch, man, it's just absolutely fine. Like, it's a really strong squad. I think we've got players like Neymar, who in recent months has looked like someone at the peak of his powers. So many options out wide, through the middle. Strong, solid midfielders who can defend. Fred is and Paqueta are fantastic at international level. It's just the fullbacks, but like, I'm not too worried. They've got a good, comfortable group, a great path to the final. I'm still seeing them winning it all.
I want to go back. I love everything you said, Benj, and I completely agree with you. This Brazil team is playing full of confidence. They are just spoiled with a wealth of riches in attack, midfield, solid. I wonder which midfield combination he goes with in Chiche, because you can play Casemiro outright as the anchor of that midfield. Neymar may be dropping into that attacking midfield role, or he can play up top next to Gabriel Jesus. I expect him to lead the line because of his form with Arsenal. But if you go to that back line, if one injury happens...
Is form with Arsenal? You know, he's not scoring goals right now, though, right?
What he doesn't score in goals, he's been creating. Go to the last match.
Mike.
He made key passes to lead. That's what he needs to do for this Brazil team. They're spoiled for riches. You need to be the guy to give Neymar the ball, to give Vinicius Jr. the ball. I think Gabriel Jesus fits in well with this team.
Mike, do you not need to be scoring goals in this Brazil team to stay in the team, though, if you're playing as that number nine striker?
I go back to 2014. They didn't have an outright barn burner and world beater at striker, and I think it was a Fred up top, and it seemed to work well. And that last game against Germany did not go well at all. But before that, they were functioning well. It was their midfielders and wide players that were getting you the goals. I think you'll see more of that in this World Cup. But if you go to that back line, the key player and injuries will be a crisis for them because they've gone so light. Danilo playing well for Juventus in recent weeks, but he's been playing as a third center back in a back three. He'll have to play outside back, and speed is not his best friend. Denny Alves as well, being called up from the abyss. Surprise call up for him. Denny Alves, a very attack-minded outside back. Alexandro, he's not in the best of form. Yes, he's been playing as higher up in the back three, or back five for Juventus, but you're counting on players who are not really good 1v1 defenders to defend 1v1 in this four-man back line.
Did you say Dani Alves isn't a good defender 1v1?
He's 39 years old.
Hold on a second. What USA American was playing at Barcelona that they had to call back Dani Alves to come and play and get mad at the match the next day? Name names, Michael.
I'm telling you, mate, he's 39 years
young,
old.
Wait. What young US defender was playing at Barcelona? Just name that name.
Jimmy Dest.
Okay. Yeah. And who did they call at 39 years old to come back and play at Barcelona?
Well, he's not playing every game, though.
James, am I lying? Sorry, James, am I lying?
I think they'd have been better off bringing back Junior Belletti or someone from the 90s, and they were playing Serginho.
Ah, here we go. Let's keep it on Brazil.
It's already started. Let me just tell you something. Hold on. Let me just tell you something. All right, this kicked off when Nigel recognized that the USA were in the top of the charts.
Yes.
Producer, can you put that ranking?
Yes, thank you.
This all kicked off when USA was notified. By the way, Nigel, that's not the top 10 in that graphic. That's top 14 in the graphic. That's why the USA...
Why are they still in the top 14?
Because we're the USA, 10,000. Man. USA.
Get out of here.
We're the anyway. USA.
Go put a bet on it if you want to lose money. Anyway, listen.
I just might.
I'm not going to elaborate too much because James and Michael have done a fantastic job. I'm just going to stick to what I've always said before already. This Brazil team has come for all-out attack. They're going to score more goals than you. There isn't really a heavy reliant on a typical number nine striker that's going to get all their goals. No, you're talking about Vinicius Jr., Neymar, Rafinha, Gabriel Jesus. They're going to get goals from everywhere. And I don't think defensively they're as bad as James and Michael might think. That's just my personal belief. I think they've got great experience, and that experience is going to carry them a long way. They're also the Brazilians. They do know how to play the dark arts and the dirty arts of the game of football. They know how to slow the game down. All that experience that they've got is priceless because they're playing at some of the top clubs in the world, and they're also playing Champions League football. They've got so much experience that you can defend being old without having to run around, as we would say, like a headless chicken. But I think they're going for all-out attack, and I don't think they're as bad defensively as you guys think.
Yeah, well, it's not just necessarily the guys think. That's what the talk of the town is right now, is that people are trying to find a weakness in Brazil because if you look at what they have offensively, it's phenomenal. And defensively, you're right, Nigel, it's phenomenal. But also, by the way, they have options. They could put two starting 11s and compete to potentially win a World Cup. That's how good they are. That's how deep they are. Obviously, some players who have been missing out on this squad, desperately disappointing. But of course, this is probably the most stacked Brazil squad roster that I've ever seen for a Brazil team. And of course, we've seen phenomenal squads in the past that have won the World Cup. But this one, this group, in my personal opinion, should win the World Cup. If they don't win the World Cup, something's wrong. And I'm just going to throw it out there. I know I've mentioned it before, James Bench. I know I've mentioned it before. Not many parties going on in Qatar. Not much alcohol to be drunk. Not many girls going around for this Brazil team. No,
they
but not for this no,
James.
They don't.
James,
no, they don't.
Can you please
part of the Samba
let, let James just say it.
They're going to F it up if that's all.
Ian,
Nigel.
Culture plays a big part. We all marveled at Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, and all that, right? If Ronaldinho, Ronaldo were as professional as this Ronaldo now, we would have never got to see the best of them, of how they were. Mm. That is it. You need that balance. I'm telling you, at times as a player, you have to do what works for you. What being super professional doesn't work for everyone. Everyone's different. Right. This is just like a rough graphic of what the riches that Brazil has in every position. They could fill three World Cup teams.
Yeah, but look at that outside back, though. That's going to cost them. I think that's going to cost them. I agree with everything you're saying. If you look at the graphic, but if you look at outside back, Alex Telles.
Alex
Telles. Michael, when you're saying outside back, you mean on the bench? What do you mean? All right, we got to move on from Brazil. We could spend the whole show talking about Brazil. Let's move on to Argentina. Nigel, obviously, you're very familiar with the coach at Argentina there in Group C with Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland. Again, I go back to it. Very similar to Brazil in many ways. Very difficult to find a weakness in this Argentina squad, the squad of players that have been selected for the World Cup. And it's great to see more numbers being selected, as far as I'm concerned, because they're so deep. They're so talented. They're in an easier group. In my opinion, Argentina have a very easy, much easier path to the semi-final and the final than most other nations. So they've got to win their group, I believe. James is shaking his head. We can get to you in a minute. But Nigel, go ahead.
I just think that Messi said it already in an interview that he did recently, that he feels that the biggest challenge is always going to be the England, the Germany and the Brazil. I watched them against the, I think it's the UAE. They played in a friendly, obviously. Not really a great comparison, but the luxuries that they have, they are good. But I don't think they're as stacked talent-wise as Brazil. And again, I don't think they're as much as a big threat attacking-wise as what Brazil have. Because a lot of it is a lot of heavy reliance is on Lionel Messi still. He creates a lot. You take Messi out of that Argentina side, or Messi gets injured. I'm not saying they're still not a good side. They're a good side, but I don't think they will create as much and score as many goals compared to Brazil when you have that Brazil selection that they have and how they can chop and change people. So
but what they've done...
Yeah,
I was going to say what they've done, just picking up on your point, is they've made Messi better than he kind of ever... Even than he was back in... 2014 in Brazil. You know, when he was shouldering that load because he had players around him that he kind of had to service that weren't kind of servicing him, really. Whereas Lautaro Martinez, who I think is fantastic alongside Messi, you know, players like him really do bring the best out of him. And finally, they've got a defence that can actually defend and keep clean sheets. I think they've conceded one goal over the last sort of 12, over the last calendar year, and that was against Ecuador when they were already done and dusted. Like, I really like this team. Can I tell you why I don't think their path is that easy? This is kind of a bit of a spoiler for later on, but I don't think France are going to top their group, which means they'd have to beat France in the round of 16.
Yeah,
but I still think they would.
That's a great chance.
France will top their group though because of that, though, right?
Let me just
you don't think that they'll recognize they need to avoid that route.
France aren't the best team in their group, though. That's the problem.
Let me just Ian, just what James said.
Yep.
What the manager's done so well with this Messi thing is he's put him into a team dynamic. He's taken all the burden off him, like you said. And then you've got young Alves now that's playing and stuff like that. But it's just a team now that's built with Messi in it. And the burden isn't on him. But still, you take Messi out of that team, they don't have another Messi-type player to fill in that big void he leaves. He's become a lot more of a facilitator.
I'm going to disagree
go ahead.
With that.
Go ahead, Mike.
So when you go to the Copa America triumph, in the latter stages, well, we're going to go back to that because it's a relevant point to the Brazil comments you made that no, like Brazil, it's their World Cup to win or lose. Disagree with that. The last big game Brazil lost, Argentina in the Copa America finals. Man of the match performance, Rodrigo De Paul. Last time I checked, that doesn't translate to Lionel Messi. Angel Di Maria scored the winning goal. Class finish. The UAE game. Yes, it's UAE. It's not one of the top 10 teams in the world. Angel Di Maria, star of the game. You're seeing an Argentina team. What makes this Argentina team different than previous teams with Messi in it?
Yeah, but Mike, he's not on Messi levels, though.
I'm challenging that point. If you take Messi out of this team, then
they'll be okay.
They're doom and gloom. They will be okay.
I said that.
You said that this is a team that without Messi aren't like they're not the same.
When they're playing top level opponents, you take Messi out of that team, like James said. If they play France without Messi,
one at a time.
Messi is a difference maker. I do agree. No one in the world will ever disagree with that. But what Scaloni has done is that different characters are taking more responsibility over this team. You look at the three-man midfield, and I say three because you can plug any three of them in. Rodrigo De Paul is becoming a more vocal leader. Paredes is becoming a more vocal leader. Otamendi, vocal leader. Guys like Papu Gomez, they're allowing their characters to shine. Messi's an introvert. Messi is not built to take the out and out vocal things that come with being a leader and a captain on the team. He wants to just focus on the football. And I think you're going to see more of a relaxed Lionel Messi, not a Messi playing with the weight of the world on their shoulders. And I think you're going to see a better Argentine team, a collective. Yes, in the media, they're saying that, yes, we want to win this for Messi. But internally in that locker room, what I've seen in the last, since the Copa America final run and win, it's like, oh, we finally got this massive trophy. We got this winning feeling. And you've seen it go through from strength to strength. Look at the game they played against Italy, something that's different from this Brazilian national team. Look at some of the teams they've played outside of South America. Not exactly barn burners, but they're getting good results. Argentina is going and putting a can of whoop-ass on whoever they play against, and they're scary good right now.
Yeah, but the hard thing is,
go ahead, Nigel. Let them do it.
The hard thing is, though, Mike and Nigel, and I guess James as well, is that, you know, when they go on these runs, the South American teams, because if Argentina do obviously pass through the group unbeaten, it'll be, I think, 38 games unbeaten. Yeah. But they've only faced three European teams in that time. So it's hard to, until you really get to a World Cup, it's hard to really say, hey, you know what? They are up there with the best in the world. Sure, they've got probably the best talented player at the World Cup or ever in history. But at the same time, it's going to be down to what your squad does. And obviously, Nigel has taught the coach very well indeed, because the coach has been pretty incredible, Nigel. I mean, he has done an unbelievable job to get this consistency, to get them playing the way, to get the best out of these players. And as Michael pointed out, it's not just Messi you're getting the best out of now. You're getting the best out of 15, 20 players that pull out on that jersey. So there's a lot of pressure, obviously, going into the competition for them. But Messi, I think, will really turn up in this competition. I think he finishes top goal scorer, Messi, for some reason. James, you agree with that? Any chance of Messi finishing top scorer?
I mean, he's certainly he's definitely in the mix on that. But I had Martinez, actually.
Ooh. Yeah, I like that shout too. I like that shout as well. All right, let's move on. We got number three in our graphic, plus 650. It is in the betting odds. Obviously, they're in Group D with Australia, Denmark, and Tunisia. And this is where we're going to probably have to disagree, because, James, you had pointed out that they might not finish top of their group because you don't think they're the best team in their group. Explain yourself about France going into this World Cup. But obviously, Nkunku factor will come into play at some point. I didn't think he was going to start anyway, but that is a world-class player that's not available now.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of many. And I think that's the big issue I have with this France team, who, by the way, have lost twice to Denmark in recent months. Mm. But I'm looking at their midfield now. They have one player in the midfield in the squad with over 15 caps. I've picked 15 because Tchouaméni has 14 and is fantastic, but maybe won't be ready for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Adrien Rabiot. They won the World Cup, to my mind, because they had Kylian Mbappé at one end, and then they had two of the best midfielders in the tournament, the best midfielder in the world at the time, N'Golo Kanté, and Paul Pogba at the peak of his powers. They've lost all that. And I think kind of at the time in 2018, we thought France were going to a great team that could repeat, could be a dominant power. They still might be, because they've got great forwards, but how many of their players have gone off the ball, haven't quite kicked on? You know, Varane is not the player he was 4 years ago. We're not going to see Kimpembe. The fullback options still look weak aside from Theo Hernandez. The midfield's not there. Mbappe's obviously got great, but that whole front line, it just seems like, you know, it's riven with politics and demands. Is Benzema going to play? Well, Giroud brings maybe more out of the players around him. Griezmann, another that's not kicked on. I just don't buy it. I find it more plausible that they won't make the last eight than that they will win the whole thing. I think if they were in a tougher group, I wouldn't even pick them to get out. I think Denmark are a better team than them and will top the group. And then Argentina will knock them out quite convincingly.
Yeah, you go back to 4 years ago. This is a France team that started the World Cup slow. They were not at the tip of everyone's tongue to win it. And they ground out results. And it was the likes of Paul Pogba and Antoine Griezmann who really stepped up in the group stages to get goals out of nothing. Some of the goals really sometimes against the run of play or in stalemates. This is a France team, I think, that it's going to be one of two things. They're going to surprise us again, or they're going to go home early. And no chance they go home early in this group that they have. But by early, I mean the round of 16. This is a team that doesn't seem like a team. 4 years ago, they had characters, locker room guys, the leaders in the locker room that really stepped up. Paul Pogba being one of them, and Adil Rami as well, one of the unsung heroes. When you talk to certain players about who are the guys that created a relaxed atmosphere, that created a unified atmosphere to help lead to triumph. And this was also a France team that rode their luck at times in that World Cup final, VAR coming to fruition. Yes, they put together a class display in the second half, but VAR was the difference in the really in that World Cup, in my opinion, between what Croatia was doing and ultimately what France was able to do. I'm concerned about the injury crisis in this team, as well as a lot of the politics going on. In your back line, Jules Koundé, will he be available? How good is he going to be coming back? Rafa Varane, question marks over, is he going to be available for that first game? And I think Denmark will feel a lot of confidence against them, given the fact that they've already beaten them twice, and it's come in recent months.
I find it so hard to go against France, in my opinion. I think they're just a nation that always produce top talent.
It's fucking most sense you've ever talked on this podcast, Nigel, right there, by the way. I'm just sitting listening to James and Mike tearing to France, and now looking at their squad, and I'm like,
that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the squad. I'm looking at the players I have available. Griezmann for sure shouldn't start. He's out the team because his form has been absolutely dreadful. He doesn't start. But when you look at the squad and the talent, I find it hard to go against France. The problem that I have with France is it just depends what France turns up. Let's not act like experience doesn't count. They've won the World Cup. They've got experience. They've got Giroud. They've got Benzema. They've got Mbappe there. The young players that come in are going to know what they're coming into. And Didier Deschamps is a World Cup winning manager. Let's not act like all of that doesn't count for nothing. Like, they're coming into a squad that's won this competition before, knows how to play tournament football. And the players they have are playing at top clubs. Let's not make it seem like these players are playing at Mickey Mouse. They're coming out of the wilderness. They've got a good balance. It just depends what France wants to turn up. It's hard to root against France. I don't think they'll finish top in their group, which is what I say. I agree to that. I think Denmark are a well better oiled team. But this France could be a very dangerous France. And like I think personally, they're either going to be great or they're going to be incredibly bad. I just don't see no in-between, but I just can't root against them when I just look at the squad and their players.
I think one thing that gives me a big question mark for this French national team, you win a World Cup with a 4-2-3-1, and you have different players that step up. And to fit players who are coming into form, and I think really to fit Karim Benzema in your team, you go to a back three, this free 3-5-2 system, and then ahead of the World Cup, Didier Deschamps is coming out saying, you know what, maybe we're going to scrap this 3-5-2 system right before the World Cup. You won the Nations League playing that system, and there's question marks over what formation France are going to play based on potential availability for injuries, based on form. That doesn't speak of a team that's moving in the right direction.
Do you know why I'm not bothered about that? Because when you look at the modern game right now of football, most managers and clubs, players now have to be versatile. In our generation, we were programmed to play one position. These young players coming through now, they are coached and trained to be able to play multiple positions. So the modern game now, you have to be versatile in formation changes, whether it's first 15, 20 minutes. That's just the modern game. So that doesn't scare me when you have that amount of talent, that players there.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nigel, 100%. And I actually think they do top the group here. I'm obviously leaning on the fact that the talent that they have in their squad. I obviously look at Karim Benzema coming into the squad, having a point to prove, of course, with the national team. They will score goals. I mean, it's just impossible to think that France won't score goals. The question will be is what James pointed out in that midfield area, where it's a little bit younger, a little bit lacking in the experience ranks, especially when it comes to big competition. It's going to be important to see how they handle that midfield area. Don't necessarily worry too much defensively, and obviously they got some very good goalkeepers, but it's a great point that Nigel points out here. Now, which France turns up, what happens in camp? Do they start arguing with each other? Are they fighting with the coach? Is there disputes going on? That's what's going to determine how far I believe France can go in this competition, because if we're going by talent, France are probably in the top three as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you disagree with me, but I think France could go very far in this competition. I actually have them making it to the final. It's interesting to me that some of you have them going out in that round of 16. So I can't bet against them, Mike. The squad, the talent they have, the coach they've got, the experience, and the youth. They have some freaking unbelievable young players who are going to gain experience in this World Cup, but are already world-class talent. They're already world-class talent playing at the biggest clubs across Europe. Some great conversation coming in the chat already. Thanks to everybody out there for jumping in. This is obviously a great discussion. Oscar, history is against France. Cynthia, when you have Benzema, you always have a chance. P. Morton saying, France's midfield is a wreck, but at least they aren't imploding like they do pretty much every year at every other World Cup. Great comment coming in. And Rafa saying, as good as they are, Deschamps will make them terrible to watch. We also had a great comment coming in from P. Morton early on in the conversation. He says, all the Qatar parties, Nigel, are around the penthouse. So stay away from the ground floor. Get to the penthouse.
That's where we were in Qatar.
Penthouse party, with common sense. Baby.
I'm telling you, there'll be parties happening for special privileged nations. You guys think, no. If the Brazil want a party, they're going to make it happen for the Brazilian guys and make sure no press get in, and they ain't going to be shouting from the rooftops what they were doing in Qatar either. Ian, quick one before we go to break. Why do you guys think the France midfield is a wreck? Because it's not a wreck. They have one of the best young midfielders in world football. How do you get experience? By playing games. Do you think he's going to shy away when you think about the pressure of playing for Real Madrid, playing Champions League and La Liga, to playing in a World Cup?
It's the other guy next to him.
Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
It's the other guy next to him called Adrien Rabiot.
That's the question mark. Thank you, Ben, for saying
he's
that.
He's actually been pretty good though.
In the last two weeks, he's been good.
All right, we got to get to break. We were trying to get through five teams. We managed to get through three teams before we had to break. But producer Des is desperate for his halftime Guinness. So let's get on to a quick break. More power rankings when we return. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy the conversation with all of you. So please stick around for the remaining teams, including England, after the break. You're watching House of Champions.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don't stop watching the world's best soccer. Stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live on Paramount Plus. It's soccer's ultimate annual competition, not for country, but for club. Sign up today for 50% off an entire year using code ALLYEAR at paramountplus.com/sports. Nigel Rio Coker, where is the code that people can scan? Whereabouts is it? Love it. Welcome back, everyone. You're watching House of Champions. We're going through our power rankings. We're about to turn our attention to fourth place England, who are at plus 750 in the betting odds. They're in Group B alongside Iran, alongside Wales, and alongside the USA. Let's get into it. Michael Lewitt, I'm coming to you first about England because I don't want to let the English talk because they're going to grab the floor and grab the microphone. Let's discuss England. I mean, realistically, what is their target in this World Cup? Because Gareth Southgate seems to refuse to say that this team is going to win it, even though I believe they have an unbelievable squad that could win the whole competition. They should finish top of their group. They're a dangerous group.
Yeah, I'm not buying what this England team is selling. I'm just going to come out and say that right away. I'm annoyed with myself that I wasn't able to be on the last chat we had last week about this England team, because I'm going to hammer them right now. Harry Kane, exhausted going in this tournament. He is your talisman. He is your goal-scoring point of reference. The big question with Gareth Southgate is he going to have the mettle to take out some of his darlings in the team, Mason Mount, Raheem Sterling, in particular, two players who have not been in great form for Chelsea this season, and two players who he typically goes to start in big matches. And the World Cup, there's big matches in this group. At the back line, though, I think that's where the biggest weakness is. But before I get to the weakness, I want to go to a strength. A player who I think this could be a breakout tournament for, Jude Bellingham. Who Southgate decides to play next to him, that's another question mark. Is it Jordan Henderson? Is it, Declan Rice?
It's Declan Rice.
It's going to be
Declan Rice. Has to be Rice then. Okay. That's another big call. What Jordan Henderson, what's he going to do? How is he going to react to something like that? Because Henderson's been a big part of your last two tournament runs. Nige, I see your eyebrow furrowed.
You know,
Let me get to the last part first before I give the floor to my brethren from across the Atlantic. The back line is woeful. It's woeful. It's woeful. It's woeful. The kids from the USMNT are going to run circles around Harry Maguire. I can't wait for that Black Friday match. But I have big question marks around this England team in terms of realistic expectations. 2 more seconds till the floor is yours. Quarterfinals is as good as it gets for this England team. I'm not buying what they're selling.
Just want to check if we're still talking about the same team that reached the World Cup semifinals 4 years ago and the European Championships literally last summer. We talking about that one?
The same players who were in form. Harry Maguire, the same Harry Maguire is
he wasn't
is
in
that
form.
Tournament, right?
He wasn't in form.
He wasn't
the
in
same.
Form.
The same players who were in form.
He wasn't
for that tournament.
But that's the point, is that this is he wasn't in form then because he was playing in a back four. But put him on the left side of a back three, he's fine. I mean, I'm not excited about what Harry Maguire could do in an England shirt, but I think there's this sort of curious idea that because Clown Car FC Manchester United can't get the best out of Harry Maguire, that in some way an England environment that he clearly relishes, that they can't either. Like he's always a better player in an England shirt. Was better for England than he was for Leicester. I think there are justifiable question marks over this team, and I would say I'm probably not as confident as England were last summer. I'm infinitely more confident as an Englishman than I was before the 2018 World Cup. But you run down that potential starting 11; it's got very few mistakes in it. Gareth, people seem to have confused the fact that England aren't that fun to watch with the fact that England aren't good at football and good at tournaments. Like, Gareth Southgate mitigates risks at the cost of, he has of not unleashing his talent. We've seen games, by the way, where he's tried that and done what everyone wants and played a 4-3-3 with Mount and Foden or whoever as free eights, and it looks awful. It doesn't work well because this is international football. Sometimes the best thing you can do is keep it tight at the back and trust your world-class striker, Harry Kane, and your world-class frontline to win the tight battle. It works. Like, they have a system that works. They have high quality players. They're going to miss Reece James a lot, really miss Reece James. But I think if you've got Alexander Arnold and Trippier as your options there, you've got Ben White as well filling in while Kyle Walker's out injured.
Well,
you're
Carl's
fine.
Supposed to be starting.
Great squad.
If I think England's going to be absolutely fine. Like, they could, win it. They probably
won't. I'm not
going to
jump on it too much. I'm not going to indulge in Michael's absolute nonsense with the U Summit players going to run rings. Like, they could barely run rings around themselves. Anyway, like James said, Black I think it's a good squad. I'm only going to jump onto one little thing quickly. What James said for me is, when Gareth Southgate lets these England players go out there and truly express themselves, lets the shackles off, England are dangerous. That's going to be, for me, whether they win this or not and how far they go. If Gareth Southgate uses very cautious approach, you don't see the best of England. But when he lets them go out there, he fills them with confidence, gives them belief, you'll see the best of them. And one player that can be a big impact in that, in how he plays and approaches the game, is Ian's favourite player, Jude Bellingham. If he lets him go out there and play, and he can be very infectious and influential to the rest of the players, England are dangerous. But if we go with too much of a cautious approach, it's a problem. That's all I have to say.
It's a great point, because I think if you just let the youngsters play as well, and I know they've got experience, and I know obviously there's always this hesitancy and there's always this fear of playing a lot of youngsters in big competition. A lot of coaches go to their experience. If they allow England to play the way we know they can play, there are few teams that can stop this group of players because they are so talented. And there are young players in there who have not yet experienced a World Cup that will get to learn a World Cup pretty quickly in this group, where England, I think, should finish top of the group and shouldn't have any problems against all three of the competitors in the group. But I think that the youngsters in particular, of course, I rattle on about Bellingham being the only one that's not playing domestically in the Premier League. He will be soon, I would imagine. He's one of the world's best players right now. Best youngsters, I would say. Not necessarily best players because he's still got a lot to prove, but his potential, my oh my, this kid could be probably the best midfielder of his generation. That's how good he is. Hmm. And this is the stage for him to prove it on. I want England to prove it to the rest of the world, to shut everybody up. Because you see in the comments right now, England quarterfinals. Maguire ain't been right since he got banged up against Greece. England will lose second the group, then lose to the Dutch. Yeah, I feel like the USA is going to be disappointment, and England could be disappointed too. Like everyone's rattling England because it's an easy target. But I just hope that these players have the freedom to go and express themselves. Because if they do that, good luck trying
just,
to stop England.
Ian, just to jump on you quickly, ooh, you're right. And you know what it is as well? And I'm sure James will agree to this as well. England will be happy with this because they're not being spoken about as real potential winners. So it suits them better because people don't realize the English press can be very ruthless. So now that they're not in that spotlight, it's going to even suit them better.
I can't wait to get Michael Hood's reaction. No matter what happens with England.
I'm keeping receipts. And Ian, I see what you are winding up the English lads to keep giving receipts for this Black Friday. Cannot wait for the first ball to be kicked because I'm telling you now, I'm gonna hammer.
Don't buy a new TV, America. Let's rattle
through the rest of the teams that we have in the top 10. We'll begin with Spain. Quick comment from each of you about Spain, plus 750 in Group E, alongside Costa Rica, Germany, and Japan. We'll start with James Bench.
Yeah, I really like what this Spain team could be if Alvaro Morata can just get it right. Just for 2 or 3 weeks, if he can have that scoring streak that he's always been threatening and never quite been delivering. He kind of is the pivot on this. I think their midfield is really good. They're kind of masters of defensive possession, but you just feel like they might struggle to put the ball in the net consistently.
Mm. Yeah, I think they are the pass masters of Europe. I think they lead Europe in the last year or so in terms of passes completed, passes made, but can they turn passes into goals? They don't create a lot of shots for as much possession they have in the final third, and that's a worrying sign. If you look at some of their potential attacking options, we talk about Alvaro Morata, Ferran Torres, a player who is dangerous, does 95% of the things well, but not many goals for Barcelona, and a player who hasn't been getting a lot of minutes for for Barcelona, given the options they have. And when you look at the other options and the final options, Sabaria not playing for PSG much, Marco Asensio not really playing for Real Madrid much. Just a lot of worries in that front line for Spain.
Yeah, that comment there is completely wrong because Germany are going to top the group. Anyway, for Spain, it's a bit of an experiment. They're going with some youngsters. I think it's also to gain experience for the next tournament. Whether the manager will still be in charge for the next tournament is another question to ask, but I think that they'll play beautiful football, great football, but they like that bite and that edge. Just like Michael and James said, scoring goals, having a clinical striker is their biggest problem, but they'll play great football, get to the edge of the box. They lack that bite.
Interesting comments from all of you about Spain. And I think it's very difficult for any of us to really commit to putting some money down on Spain going deep in this competition. But if you look at their squad, they still are a very talented group. And there are some youngsters in there who have really shone brightly, obviously domestically in Spain in particular. But also, I like the mix that they've got, Spain. And I also would say this, similar to what you just mentioned about England, Nigel, not many people are talking about Spain right now. Can't imagine they're feeling too much pressure, except from their home nation, to go far in this competition. And not many people are expecting them to top their group because they're in with Germany and they also have Japan in their group as well, which you've got to be worried about taking points from one of the two. So Spain have got to be good. They've got to be good. And they may potentially take maximum points in the group because I am not all over Germany. Let's turn our attention to Germany because they're plus 1,000 to win the World Cup. They, of course, are in the same group as I just mentioned with Spain, Japan, and Costa Rica. Everybody out there in the comments, let us know where you think Germany will go in this competition. Can they make it to the final? Yes or no? Let us know if they can beat Spain. Can they top their group against Spain? Nigel, I'll start with you on Germany. Obviously, we talk about German football a lot because I played in Germany and we've got no other option but to listen to me talk about German football. This is a good group, but I'm not convinced yet that Germany can win it or even make it to the final.
Well, you should start, Ian, because all I would say, I'll give the floor to you because you've got more experience. I'll just say for me again, I look at Germany very similar to France. It's hard to root against them. They've got good experience. They've got some youngsters coming in. What they're doing is bleeding a lot of these youngsters in for the next major tournament. They've always been good at that. And I think that that's why, again, it's always hard to root against them because the one thing I like about the Germans is this. You want to play beautiful football and technical football, they can do that. You want to play the physical side of football, they can do that. Any type of football you want to play, the Germans can adapt to do it and they always find a way. But what would you think, Ian?
All right, I'll just give you my opinion and I want to hear from the boys real quickly. Now, yeah. Germany, obviously, I think will be dangerous. They will score goals. They will create opportunities because they have pace in the wings and they have goal scorers up top there. Obviously, you want to figure out where Thomas Müller is. They brought experience back into the squad. Obviously, I get that. But I worry massively. And I mean massively about the defense. I understand that they've got players playing at Real Madrid. They've got players playing at Borussia Dortmund and obviously the biggest clubs in Europe, Leipzig. I get it. But at the same time, I am not convinced about this center-back pairing. I'm not convinced about defensive organization. I think that is their biggest weakness, Germany. I really do believe that. They will score goals. They should top their group. But defensively, I think a Spain can cause problems to this Germany team. And I would not be putting money on Germany beating Spain in this group stage. James, am I far away from saying that Germany do have weaknesses and it is that backline?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think one interesting subplot about Spain and Germany is the presence of a really good Japan team in their group. Mm. And, you know, I mapped this out. I had Spain and Germany getting through, but both of them only on goal difference ahead of Japan. The one thing I'd say, I look at this team and I look at it like I'm sure we've all seen Succession, or most of us have. I look at this Germany team like Kendall looks at Logan Roy. He's just not a killer. They're just not killers. I don't. Maybe it's all that, you know, the memories of that disappointing World Cup defense. They weren't great at the Euros either. They're just not a team that I think will scare their opponents, which is very strange to say about Germany. But yeah, I wouldn't be scared of them. I would respect them, but
yeah,
there's a little something missing that I can't put.
Yeah, but the midfield, though, the midfield is freaking stacked.
Yeah, I don't think we're giving this German team enough credit. I agree with some of the concerns in the back line because they play a high line. Hansi Flick, we saw it at Bayern Munich. It's high risk, high reward with some of their movements, how they press. I mean, when they get in transition, what I love about this German team, and you see it at Bayern Munich, the Bayern influence, and I said it yesterday, Ian, there's clearly something not right at Bayern Munich this year. Clearly something not right with what they've done at the group stages, what they continue to do in the league. And I think we're going to be saying the same things now about this German team. There's clearly something not right about this German team. And I think we'll be reversing that potentially come World Cup time. I love the confidence with which this core is playing with. And Hansi Flick is good with young players. Getting the likes of Musiala in the mix, making him the out-and-out dictator of the attack, free-flowing. This kid is playing with tons of confidence. Serge Gnabry getting goals. Leroy Sané, that Bayern core. Joshua Kimmich. My big concern with them is because you play a high line, because you don't have pace in the back, that connection between your two center backs, it's going to force Manuel Neuer to be the best sweeper keeper he's ever been of his career. And that could cost you in the latter stages of the World Cup. If he gets it wrong or a defender, there's not good communication. That's where I see a breakdown possible for Germany. But, oh, man. You know, the striker position as well. Do you go with Kai Havertz? Do you go Thomas Müller, a position he hasn't played as much recently in his career? But I really like this German national team, and I think they could be a big threat in this competition.
Nigel, I'm just going to say one name to you that I know you're a big fan of, Youssoufa Moukoko, in the squad, by the way. Watch out for him on the big stage. This kid seems to love it. All right, let's turn our attention to the Netherlands real quickly. We got to be quicker because we're about to get out of here. They're in Group A with Senegal, Ecuador, and Qatar. They don't play on match day one. They play on match day one, but they play a day later after Qatar and Ecuador open the competition. Netherlands, Nigel, obviously well coached with Louis van Gaal. Greatest opportunity for him. He's been outspoken about the competition taking place in Qatar, which I think everybody appreciates. But are the Netherlands a team that maybe we should be talking about a bit more?
Yeah, dark horse. Very dark horse team, the Netherlands. You know, and I think, again, with them, they're very happy. They're going under the radar. top players playing all across Europe, playing for some of the biggest clubs in Europe. Good mix, some surprise picks and surprise players who didn't make it. But I think Van Gaal as a manager is a great manager and also a great human being. It's more than just being a manager. And I think that they're a real dark horse that people should really keep an eye on. One of my few dark horses.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nige. Beware of the back three. Last time we saw Netherlands show up to a World Cup with a back three, it yielded very high dividends in a World Cup, I think, third place finish in Brazil. The concern for this Netherlands team is you have some key players, Memphis Depay, one of their leading goal scorers, I think leading goal scorer in the World Cup qualifying campaign, not getting minutes for Barcelona. What he has missed for Barca, he has made up big time with this Netherlands national team. Denzel Dumfries as well, a player to watch in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cody Gakpo as well. I think there's a player that could really take the tournament by storm. They've got good players everywhere. Maybe not the sort of superstar talent of past Dutch teams, other than Van Dijk. But, you know, not going to be many players that have a shocker.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one there. And also just to point out that Memphis Depay did score 12 goals through qualifying and was absolutely flying. And some players just seem to have a little bit more of satisfaction when it comes to national team over club football. Certainly going into this competition seems to be the case. All right, let's move on to Portugal, plus 1,400 in Group H alongside Ghana, Uruguay and South Korea. Probably one of the most difficult groups you could possibly put into. Portugal, efficient in qualifying. Obviously, a lot of noise going into the World Cup, James, around Cristiano Ronaldo, frosty welcomes and all this bullshit. But they are, even if you take, in my opinion, if you take Cristiano away from this group, this is a top Portugal side that could do damage in the competition, I believe.
And it might not be the worst thing to take Cristiano Ronaldo away from this group. I mean, it possibly, certainly Bruno Fernandes plays a lot better without him and a lot of your other players do as well. I think the absence of Diogo Jota, though, it's going to really hurt them because he was a player who could and relished playing alongside Ronaldo. That for me is a big challenge. The talent's all there. They're kind of quite similar to England in that they don't look to exploit it. They look to keep games tight and trust their forward line to win it. I could see anything happening with this team, all the way from going to the final to maybe not even getting out of the group. But never knowingly not dramatic.
Yeah, for me, you take Ronaldo out. Yeah, I think all this swan song of Ronaldo and records and World Cup and all that is what they're thinking of. Take him out of this group. Let the next generation come in. Rafael Leao could be the star of this team. Like James said, Fernandes plays way better without Ronaldo. Then there could be trouble. But if you play him, he hasn't played at Man United. He's not fit. He's not ready to go into a World Cup. And it's just going to be a big mess.
Interesting. Great comment coming in from Jimmy Survivor. He says, Uruguay, winner of that group for me. And certainly that is the competition.
I agree
right
to that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Of course.
Michael, who do we touch on? Belgium here, plus 1,600 to win the competition in Group F. Ooh. Very difficult group alongside Canada, Morocco and Croatia. I mean, listen, it's still Belgium. They still have Kevin De Bruyne. They have, obviously, Lukaku. We don't know where his fitness levels is. They have a great goalkeeper in Courtois. They have talent. They have a group. They have a very, very good coaching staff. But are they good?
They're going to score goals. They've shown that in their last couple Nations League games, and it's all been through the play of KDB. Big question marks. Romelu Lukaku, his health, and I think Lukaku, given that his priority has been on the World Cup, I think probably he's been more conservative in getting back on the field for Inter Milan. But which Lukaku are we going to see? The one from 2018 or the one that we saw last season for Chelsea? He looked like he started the season revived going to Inter. Big question mark there. And Eden Hazard, captain of the national team. I think the armband should go to Kevin De Bruyne because he's the real talisman. But Eden Hazard hasn't played much at all for Real Madrid. Injury crisis for him. If they can get anything out of him,
by the way, Mike, he just apologized for not playing for Real Madrid. I hope you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry for that.
Hopefully you won't be saying that to the Belgian fans at the final whistle of their matches at the World Cup. What I love about this Belgian team, though, the youngsters coming through. You have Trossard from Brighton. Do you give him more of a prominent role should Eden Hazard not be able to kick on like they expect him to? I would put him in the team. I would give him a run if Hazard isn't good to go after the first game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just deeply underwhelmed by this Belgium team. I think De Bruyne is the only one, and Courtois, that we're not talking about from the golden generation as being post-prime. One of my many hot takes for this World Cup is that they don't get out of the group. I don't think they're all that special anymore. We'll see, though. I mean, maybe they relish the dark horse tag a bit more, but I don't think they're getting out of the group.
It's a tough one.
Morocco are really good.
Yep.
all the conversations we've had about, oh, their back line. No, this is the one team that the back line definitely isn't good enough. So we said about, no, Belgium's back line is absolutely awful and not good enough. They haven't developed enough good enough players. It's a fact.
Awful.
We'll see. That's what I have to say on them.
England. Jim, you pointed out that Morocco are good, and obviously we know Croatia are good, but also let's not underestimate Canada.
CONCACAF.
Best team in CONCACAF, as far as I'm concerned, through qualifying. They were fantastic to watch, and they have some players. My, oh, my. James, on Denmark, real quickly before we get out of here, plus 3,000 to win the whole thing. You're pretty high on them in the group stage there with Tunisia, France, and Australia in Group D. Homan's put together a very good squad and got them playing incredibly well. They're dangerous. They're fun, and obviously they welcome back Eriksen after that emotional time after having Carreira rest on the field. This is going to be a big competition for them. They are not going into Qatar quietly. They are going in to share their opinion, share their voice, obviously want to demonstrate as well with their jerseys and training jerseys. And I love to see that from players and federations in particular. But down to the football, good side that you are rating pretty highly here.
Great side. Really great side. Because when you start going through the boxes that you need to tick for World Cup success, and this goes back to what Nigel said, great defense, a defense that's played a lot together and, you know, is more than the sum of its parts. World Cup, especially in the knockout rounds, you need set-piece experts. They have the best set-piece taker, or one of the best set-piece takers in world football, in Christian Eriksen. There's just talent right across this side. A lot more, I think, than maybe people appreciate. I mean, go and look at that front line as well. It's not star names, but, you know, there is an awful lot of talent. We saw, what was the guy's name? Honestly, his name's just blanked on me from the Euros, who really shone out. But, you know, I mean, Skov Olsen is in great form as well. Jesper Lindstrom, as you can attest from the Bundesliga.
That's a good shout, Ian, like him.
Really promising young forward there. This is a team that ticks every box. I have them going right the way to finishing third at the World Cup.
I do as well.
And I said they go deep in the Euros as well.
Mike, comment quickly, please.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like I've sucked up so much air today with some of my antics, especially still peeved at the England shouts, but I'll put that aside for this Danish team. I'm glad you're saying that.
USA. I guess they didn't even make the chat. Let's finish up.
That's for the next show. For this Danish team, I love that we've seen a progression from them starting the World Cup, and then you go to the Euros, semis, and now you see the audacity being able to beat France twice and then going to Croatia and losing a close game, but you're getting just, it's a unified team. And I think the Euro campaign, you're seeing a lot of your key players playing at some of the top leagues in the world, playing at some massive clubs. And I, as you mentioned, goalkeeper in Schmeichel, not having the best of times at Nice, but when he puts on the Denmark shirt, he becomes a different player. I think this is a team that's ready to make some noise. And the fact that they play a team that they've already gotten good results against in France, a little bit of 2018 coming back again between, it was at Denmark, France, and Australia, similar group as last time. I think the familiarity will help them and give them the boost of confidence. I expect big things from this team.
What a great conversation today, guys. We managed to make it through all the way to 10. We spent pretty much most of the time on the top three in England. Go ahead, Nigel.
Before you end it, Ian, sorry. Listen, I just want people to remember I said this, right? There's a team we haven't discussed, we didn't get to, because Mike likes to talk about USA and talk nonsense. Uruguay. Ladies and gentlemen, remember Nigel said it first. Keep an eye on Uruguay as the biggest extreme dark horse. Just remember I said it first there. Go ahead, Ian.
Well, listen, there is Croatia, Uruguay, Serbia, and USA that were all the way down to 14th place. You said Uruguay. I will say my dark horse is Serbia. And there's a few reasons for that. And I see the chat has been very active right now. James is shaking his head. But the conversation in the chat has been absolutely brilliant today. Thanks to everybody for jumping in the conversation. And there's a little bit of debate going on in the chat, guys. We're having our chat here, but there's debate going on in the chat right now as we speak about
Argentina, France, Serbia. Before we get out? Come on, quickly. What's the biggest question you've seen, Ian, before we get out?
There was three different, no Senegal as African champions here. What we got here? Hold on, let me get into it. They were discussing about Serbia. If Serbia were going to make it out of the group stage, many people were saying Serbia were going to be the dark horse, which I believe as well. And that has been shut down quickly.
Don't you think Serbia are a bit like Turkey were at Euro 2020, where everyone was convinced they were the dark horse?
Listen,
the reason I would say that One, they're playing Brazil first, which is going to be a real momentum killer for them. And two, Switzerland.
Unless they get something from the game, James.
I think the fact that they're playing them first is going to help get that out of the way. No, it puts more focus on the next two games.
Not a team. That's what you got to say with Serbia. Amazing.
I disagree with that.
No, you're underestimating.
I think great team that have good players playing at the right time.
Uruguay.
I agree with the Uruguay, but this Serbia team, they're unified in ways they haven't been before.
All right, couple of quick comments before we get out here on Serbia. They are in Group G, as James rightfully pointed out, against Brazil. That's their first game. Then they have Cameroon and Switzerland. Don't forget, all right, just don't forget the Albanians that live in Switzerland. This is going to be a bit of a battle here. We're talking Serbia against Swiss Albanians here at the World Cup. This is going to be an absolute battle. Plus, they've got some world-class players, one who have been critical of, and that is Vlahovic, obviously. But I think he'll be better for his national team than he has been playing for Juventus this season. Mitrovic, if he's healthy, not a bad goal scorer as well. And one player who's really shone brightly has been Filip Kostic, who's really stood out. So, obviously, Milinkovic-Savic as well. Apparently not moving club because he's going to cost over 100 million. I'm going to shut up now. The conversation has been awesome. Everybody out there, thank you so much for jumping in the House of Champions conversation today. It's been brilliant to hear from you. It's been great to hear from the boys. I love how different of an opinion we have. James shakes his head on everything I say today, and I love it. Nigel Rio-Coker wags his finger at Michael Hood, everything he says. And Michael disagrees with everyone out there. And I hope the conversation never, ever ends, because this is going to be one unbelievable World Cup, something we have never seen before. And be careful where you put your money on this competition, on every game, on every group winner, on whoever you think is going to win, because this is a competition like no other we have ever seen before. So last comment from Nigel before we get out. Nigel, last comment. Yep.
Oh, James, are you not happy, James? We didn't have to even discuss USA. It's an embarrassment to have them in there over some other nations.
Aren't we doing a special Minnows episode with them?
Just take absolutely stuff them. He's ready to go.
Rinsed. I get rinsed on the group chat.
Stuff the USA.
Topic of conversation is... nations to struggle. That will be the one right there. Thanks everybody out there for listening to House of Champions. Please take a minute to leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Also available as videos. So subscribe to us on YouTube. Everybody out there who's been in the chat, absolutely fantastic. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to James Benge. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend. The World Cup's about to be here. Nigel Rio-Coker pointing to the QR code if you want 50% off your Paramount Plus subscription. And there's the salute from Michael Hood towards the US national team, who is just gearing up for that first kick. Oh, yes. It's go time, baby. World Cup 22 is right around the corner. House of Champions signing up.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.